Brutal Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another beautiful weekend. It's Sunday morning here in the nation's capital area. The show comes out of New York, and we're happy it does. We've got a really great group of listeners up there. And I'm going to be able to talk to you if we don't destroy my microphone in the process.
That's me just punching the microphone stands.
There's a lot of stuff going on in sports, but right now the biggest story is something I found out about 5:30 this morning when I got up, let my dogs out, and looked everywhere on Twitter. It was everywhere on Twitter, on Facebook. Tony Stewart, who owns his own racing team now, evidently they do kind of guest appearances at a lot of these dirt tracks all over the country. Evidently these guys can't make enough money. It's impossible. So, you know, they show up somewhere and they'll actually race in a race. And I don't think that they're even eligible for money. In the winnings, I could be wrong, but it's just kind of a good PR thing. Well, one not such a good PR thing is to get involved in an accident on a course that maybe you might have started like the ball rolling. Evidently, if you look at the, you know, I didn't even post it. I couldn't post it. It shows a young man being killed and shows him getting out of his car after he's been spun into the wall. And, let's face it. I mean, Tony Stewart can drive a car. I mean, he can drive anything with four wheels, two wheels, maybe even one wheel for all we know. And I've always been a Tony Stewart fan, but evidently in the last few years, he's had some problems. And he and Joe Gibbs had a mutual understanding, I think, where they split up. And I don't know the wherewithal about it, but Gibbs was pretty – when it happened, I was kind of surprised. But evidently there was some problems here and there. And but Tony Stewart unfortunately, this young man thought that he may have caused the accident that kind of spun him out and stopped his race. He got out on a dirt track. Now, these cars are still traveling at a fairly high rate of speed, even though it doesn't look like it. And these are also not, you know, stock race cars. These are just, you know, vehicles that have been put together for dirt track races. But he got out, and you see guys do this all the time on TV. They'll get out, and they'll throw a helmet or something at a car, and it'll bounce off. The car's doing like 140, and the helmet will bounce into the infield. Somebody's lucky that a helmet hadn't come back and hit him in the face when they do that before. But this kid—
I'm sure it's happened once.
Yeah, but this kid pointed at Stewart, evidently trying to get him to stop or pull over, and he looked like he spun sideways either to miss him or— to just kind of barely hit him or what? I mean, I have no idea what he was thinking. And instead of just kind of punching the kid away, and that would have been dangerous enough, he evidently got caught under one of his tires. And the kid, they took him to the hospital, and he was pronounced dead there. And it's a sad situation, and I'll get you all the information on it as we go on. It's going to be, I mean, no matter what, that's going to be probably the number one story today, unfortunately, because there's a death involved. And I'm sure this kid doesn't, you know, his family is probably just devastated by the event. And you know, we pray for his family and we pray for everybody involved in this accident. I'll even say a prayer for Tony Stewart that, you know, he makes it through this, because if, you know, if he's got to just be feeling horrible. Now, a couple of things happened on Twitter. Evidently, his business manager was quoting as, "It'll be business as usual for the Tony Stewart race team." Well, I think it's time to fire that guy, because if it's business as usual after the unfortunate death of somebody that you were involved in the death with, I think it's time for you just to find something else to do that doesn't have anything to do with the public. Because if I was the kid's father and I could get my hands on that guy, no one could get my hands off of the guy for a while.
I'll sell them my services cheap. And here's what you say. No comment. Oh, and on top of that, no comment.
Yeah, no comment. You know, just keep your mouth shut until now. Evidently, Matt was just telling me you can't find Tony Stewart's Facebook page anywhere.
I was talking about his Twitter account. I was just like saying, hey, did they say anything? If the manager was stupid enough to say something, I was wondering if they put out a statement already. And apparently, they have not signed into Twitter since.
it's very active beforehand. It's a sad and unfortunate day for racing in general because, you know, no matter what level of racing you're at, racing is a big sport and it's a very popular sport. And you know, it is a dangerous sport. And I will say this: the young man probably should have stayed in his car, but he would have had to get out of his car eventually anyway. But he wouldn't have been in the middle of the racetrack. He probably would have jumped over the fence and waited for them to throw out do whatever they do, you know, run out a flag or a red flag until they got everything cleaned up and fixed and all of that. We're going to talk some baseball today. I got Clark Judge calling in later today. Clark Judge is, in my opinion, the best NFL guy out there from a standpoint of knowledge about what's going on now, but knowledge in the past 30 to 40 years. And Clark, you know, has his own network now. It's like it's Hall of Fame Network. I'm going to get him to explain it all to you, but you can actually call in on his show and voice opinions, and it's really an interesting format. I was reading about it just a little while ago, and I'm looking forward to that. The New York Yankees have a reason to smile today. They are technically right now in the playoff hunt. If the season ended today, the Yankees would be tied for the last wild card spot in the American League. And I got to tell you something. You know, my hats are off to a guy named Joe Girardi, who's done such a phenomenal job of coaching these guys this year. Being a manager, you know, is a no-win position. When you win, you're supposed to win, and when you lose, it's your fault. You know, and that's why these guys are compensated pretty well. They are. I mean, managers make anywhere from about $1 million to about $6 or $7 or $8 million a year. Girardi's on the top end of that because he lives in New York. I mean, to get a cab, it'll cost him $50 to go about 10 blocks. It's probably not that bad, but it sure seems that way when I'm in New York. And the subway is the way to go, but, you know, he doesn't have enough pens to sign enough autographs on the subway, so he can't really use the subway. But the Yankees, unfortunately, Corey Kluber from the Cleveland Indians yesterday, five hit him and beat him 3-0. And they're still tied for the last wild card spot in the American League. I don't know that – I think half the teams in the American League are still in it. And I think that's great. Tampa Bay is starting to play some ball. They shut the Cubs out yesterday 4-0. Toronto beat Detroit. Detroit is finding ways to lose. They've got three Cy Young Award winners on their starting staff, and all three of them lost this week. So, you know, for all you guys out there that think all you need are the best guys, you know, to win a World Series, win a pennant, it's not true. The Mets beat Philly in 11 innings. The Mets are just doing what the Mets do. They're winning, they're losing, they're kind of trying to put this team together. Their team from Las Vegas is starting to arrive. I think there's a lot of things the Mets could do to be very competitive in the near future. I think one thing they have to consider is trading David Wright, because David Wright is going to be making so much money the next few years if he stays in New York. And I think that with their young pitching and with some of their good players that are starting to kind of jump. I love Travis d'Arnaud, their catcher. I think he's going to be one of the top four or five catchers in the league in 2 years. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think he's coming along a great – I didn't realize how small this guy was. He's not a real big guy. He's bigger than Girardi. Girardi was the smallest catcher I ever saw. Joe's got to be 5'9", maybe 5'9 and a half. But Joe was a great defensive catcher, and he could hit a little bit. Well, this kid d'Arnaud can hit – slant, he can just flat out hit, period. And he's going to really help the Mets. And I think we need to figure out a way to get rid of David Wright. And I'm gonna call Sandy Alderson this week if he'll take my calls and see if I can't help him put a deal together. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. And I am a realtor, and we'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Yeah, you know, I have to apologize. My handicapping season is about to begin in about 3 or 4 weeks with the opening day of the NFL season. And I thought that, you know, with Hall of Fame game last week and me feeling real spry about how good that Buffalo's defense was supposed to be and how the Giants were supposed to be struggling so much, I'm 0-1 in the preseason right now.
Never bet on blue.
Well, yeah, it's not even that. It's don't release any preseason game ever. Although there are a few guys in Vegas that do make a living in the preseason more than they do during the regular season, because a lot of coaches have tendencies when it comes to the preseason. Like, they really, some coaches, like, well, Bill Belichick, they let the Redskins, and I wasn't going to say the word Redskins because you won't be hearing that much on this show anymore.
I'm calling them Lanham FC.
Yeah.
Lanham FC. That's
yeah, whatever they are. They call that place Ral John after both of Jack Kent Cook's sons, Ralph and John. What a redneck that guy was, even though he was from Canada and he was a billionaire. He was a redneck. But anyway, not that there's anything wrong with rednecks, but because there's not. We're all different. We're all different, and if you don't think so, go on Facebook one day. It's pretty amazing stuff on there. I don't even want to talk about it. I'd like to say hi to all my East Carolina football buddies out there.
Rednecks. No,
these guys are not rednecks. Now, some of them are proud to be rednecks, just like Jeff Foxworthy is. And I got news for you. When I lived in North Carolina, I was all North Carolina boy. My mother's from North Carolina. My dad was from Tennessee. I got to Greenville when I was 16 years old. So I, quote unquote, grew up there. I'm not grown up now. I'm 60 and I'm not a grown up. And if I ever even act like a grown-up, I want somebody to just slap the crap out of me and wake me up. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Hi to all those guys out there. Just look at a picture of Butch Stroderman, who was a linebacker at East Carolina. I swear, he looked just like he looked like George Bush on steroids.
I can vouch for this.
It was a great picture of him, and it must be his daughter.
It looks like
if it's
he's
not
wearing
his daughter, Butch, if that's your wife, man, you are doing something right. But she was a cute little girl. I'm sure it was his daughter. And at the beach. And, you know, just talk to all those guys is always good. It gets me going in the morning. I got to get to the Outer Banks this week. I got to go down. My house isn't selling. I got a house for sale, everybody. If you want to buy a great house, it brings in $60,000, $70,000 in income per year. And it's basically a break even, but it gives you a house that you can have in the off season. And Matt doesn't mind me doing real estate commercials, especially for my own house, because Matt owns a real estate show. He does. What's the name of your show, Matt?
Not a real estate show. I own a real estate company. Well, a real estate marketing company.
Well, what is it? Tell everybody what you do. Go ahead, because people in New York would probably like to hear this.
Well, I'm not traveling to New York, but yes, it's My Homes Media. It's we do real estate marketing, mainly video and photography, and that's about it.
Yeah,
that's all you need to know.
For those picky people
out
there,
for the right amount of money, I will travel to New York.
Hey, it doesn't
may not make sense.
I
for you,
get
though.
To Westchester in less than 4 hours, and if you're a policeman listening to this, I do not drive a blue Suburban anymore. But anyway, let's keep going over these numbers. Yesterday, the Baltimore Orioles are on fire. They are making my pick of the St. Louis Cardinals to win the National League pennant early this season look pretty bad, because they're beating up St. Louis every day. They won 10-3 yesterday. They hit like 4 or 5 bombs. Tampa Bay, we said, won. A lot of 2-1 games yesterday. Mets win 2-1 in 11 innings. San Diego Padres, who just hired a new general manager after firing a guy that wasn't particularly good to begin. You know, San Diego always blames it on their GM. They fired Kevin Towers, who was there for 20 years. And they blamed everything on him. Well, when you only spend $70 million a year on your roster, I mean, you're not going to win, Padres. You're just not going to win, because you only have maybe one. You know, the only guys you're going to have that are any good are going to be your young pitchers. And then they're young pitchers, so they're not that experienced. And you're not going to have any good position players. Why? Because good position players go elsewhere. Chase Headley is now a New York Yankee. He is never going back to San Diego, and they don't want him back because they don't want to have to write him a $15 million a year check. They just don't. That's the way baseball works. But they did beat the Pirates in Pittsburgh, and my buddy Grant Paulson is there. I was listening to Minors and Majors this morning on XM Radio, and Grant from 8 to 10 every Sunday has a great show about all the guys coming up that are going to be in the big leagues eventually. And all the guy, he talks about the big leagues too, and it's a great show, and it's on for 2 hours right before I go on the air, so I get to listen to it. But he's in Pittsburgh right now, and if you've never been to Pittsburgh, to that ballpark there, you got to go. It's one of the greatest baseball parks you'll ever see. It's, you can, you know, I mean, it's just the whole downtown city of Pittsburgh's fun. Now, there's not a lot going on once you get away from the stadium. I mean, because Pittsburgh is in the midst of what kind of a lot of places are that used to be in the steel business in this country. You know, I guess we use plastic a lot more than metal now. But you know,
who knew that a business from the 1800s wouldn't last?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't understand it. But I will say this. We do need more. We're going to need a lot more steel because our bridges are falling apart. Of course, this is something that, you know, I don't want to get into that. Because Matt and I already got into it. Matt and I have one big argument every week, and that's when I walk in.
It's never about fun stuff. Like
no, it's
candy.
Not. It's about, like, politics every
I
time.
I love Skittles. He likes some M&Ms. It's yeah. Always about the horrible stuff in the world.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's like, you know, I just hope, I say a prayer every day and just hope, you know, we all make it through the next year and a half. If we can do that, I think we'll be okay. Milwaukee beat the Dodgers. Now, the Milwaukee Brewers... My buddy John Nairn, the hitting coach, everybody who listens to the show knows that we were sweet mates. East Carolina University, he's a great guy. They continue to beat up on San Francisco and the Dodgers. And I got a feeling Milwaukee will be there at the end. I just think they will. Now, a lot of people don't think they have the pitching to last, but I think they do. I think they've got plenty, and I think they're going to be okay. And it looks like they're healthier than everybody else. Cincinnati's beat up. They're not going anywhere. I mean, when Joey Votto is out of the lineup and you know, their phenomenal second baseman is out of the lineup, they don't have a chance. Cincinnati is not going to be there. Kansas City shut out San Francisco last night. I watched that game. San Francisco's having a hard time scoring runs. You know, they're resting Brandon Crawford for a couple of games because he just looks exhausted and is struggling at the plate, especially against right-handers. They got Matt Duffy up from Richmond, their double-A club, and he was tearing, you know, the cover off the ball in Richmond and doing a great job there. They do have Joe Panik at second base, who I think will be their second baseman for the next 6 to 10 years. I think he's going to hit 300, and I think he's going to score a lot of runs, and I just think he's a solid enough second baseman to stay there. Houston beat Texas. Texas, as we know, is the worst team. How do you go from being... You know, being in the World Series two years in a row to being the worst team in the major leagues. Well, I'm not sure how you do that, but if you just watch what Texas has done the last 2 years, that will give you a pretty good idea.
It's
of
a
how
master's
you do it.
Class.
Well, you know what the first thing they did was they alienated Nolan Ryan, made him mad, and he left the organization. When Nolan left, it just seems like all of the big league ability of the Texas Rangers left with him. And a lot of people talk about John Daniels being this great GM. I'm sorry, I don't see it. And if he is, fire him. You know, give him a break. Let him go to a team that's not so bad. But anyway, Houston even beat Texas. And Houston is a team that is going places. They have great minor league players. They have Bo Porter as their manager, who's a young guy who knows how to play the game. He was the third base coach for the Washington Nationals when Davey Johnson was there, and he does a great job. The Arizona Diamondbacks, you know, they got into a kind of a big brouhaha with Pittsburgh, I guess, and there was some people thrown at back and forth, and Andrew McCutchen got hit right in the middle of the back, and he got all upset about it, and I don't blame him because it was a BS thing. The way he got hit, they didn't hit him on the first pitch. They hit him on the third pitch after throwing a slider outside, which is setting him up to get hit even harder. But he evidently broke some rib cartilage off, and he's on the 15-day DL. And if he's not on the DL, he's day-to-day. They're thinking he might be out longer than that. If that's the case, they're done. I don't see any way they come back But Arizona beat Colorado last night 14-4. That 14 runs Arizona scored is probably more than they scored last week total. The Angels came back and won. Are you believe this? 19 innings Boston and L.A. played. That's two games plus an inning last night. That game in L.A. must have ended East Coast time. Oh, I don't know. What do you think? About 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'm not going to pick Boston to win today because those guys are on East Coast time. And they are going to be extremely, extremely exhausted. Minnesota, Oakland won. Of course, yesterday was Saturday. What is my game plan always? If you listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion every week, take the Oakland A's on Sunday, every Sunday. So I don't even know who they have pitching, but I like them anyway. They won 9-4 last night over Minnesota, and Minnesota is pretty much done. They are. I mean, they got rid of Sam Fuld is actually playing for Oakland now. One of their outfielders, that was part of a trade they made before the trade deadline. And then the White Sox won a game. They hadn't won too many games lately. They beat Seattle, who's been a little kind of in fuego. They've been on fire for a while. And they win last night, too. You look at the standings in the American League East, and let's go to that right away because I got to tell you, I am so happy for the Yankees. The Yankees have won 61 games. They're 61-55, six games over 500. Kansas City is a wild card now. Baltimore is up. They're six games out in front. Six games in front of the Yankees. Six games out in front of Toronto. Tampa Bay is 10 games back. They're done. They're up. They're two games below 500. Boston's Boston. They're done. But they do have the rings from last year, so they're feeling good about life. Kind of a San Francisco thing going on there in Boston. Detroit, they're struggling all of a sudden, and the Kansas City Royals are only a game and a half back. I'm sorry, Tigers. I'm pulling for the Kansas City Royals. I'm pulling for them. I'm pulling for Shannon O'Brien if she's listening to this game. Shannon, I wanted to come out yesterday, and see that game. I just couldn't swing it. It didn't make sense. I couldn't get it done. I got old dogs. I got to take care of them. Cleveland, one game under 500. They're done. White Sox, they're done. Minnesota, they're done. Oakland A's. Now, I picked Oakland to win the pennant. I still have got Oakland winning the pennant. They're 72-44. People, that's 28 games over 500. The Angels, who a lot of people said were the second best team in the American League, they're 20 games over 500, only four games back. So right now, these are the teams in Seattle's, I think they're done. Houston's done, and Texas is done. So if you look, we have Oakland, and we have the LA Angels. We have Detroit and Kansas City. We have Baltimore, the Yankees, and Toronto. So there's only seven teams that really have a shot at making the playoffs, and there's only five teams that make it to the playoffs. The Yankees have a great chance. They really do. Kansas City's on fire now, but they're real streaky. I mean, they could win, you know, the next five or six games and look like they're definitely the team to beat, and then all of a sudden they could lose 11 out of 12. That's just the way they are. Oakland and the Angels, if the Angels still stay healthy, they're going to be good. Oakland is solid. They're going to be there when it's all over. In my opinion, that's going to be the way it is. Listen, I want to emphasize to everybody out there, I want you to call in, and I want you to express your opinion. Let us know if you like the show. Let us know what you're thinking. We're going to have some things to talk about in the next hour. And when we have time to call in, you can just call 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. Matt will pick up the phone. You'll be on almost immediately. And we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Just no four-letter words out there. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So Kenny up on the board in WFES threw us some breaking news that NASCAR just announced that Tony Stewart will actually not be racing today.
Hallelujah.
Walking back the current, the thought that from the current manager who said, you know, it's business as usual.
Well,
apparently that did not sit well with the NASCAR.
I'm pretty sure that guy is a former business manager of Tony Stewart Racing. because that's the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard in my life. Not only it's not just stupid, it's just cold. That's cold. That's very.
You can't go business as usual after vehicular manslaughter.
Oh my God! Yeah. You just said the M word, manslaughter. Well, you know,
technically what it is.
Well, I mean, it could be. Yeah, but we don't know. They're going to tear apart. You know,
I am not.
You know what's really weird?
WFAS is not responsible for anything I say.
No, but listen to this. Here's something that is interesting. That we only saw one film of that wreck. And what happened, I guarantee you, there are going to be more of those that come out from different angles. You know what I mean? People, because that racetrack, there's people all on one side of that racetrack. The one we saw was kind of all the way over on the right side, right around the corner. And what was it you were... don't say that. Let's see, what do y'all think about... Well, Jason Whitlock, who's a...
I must have said something horrible if you tell me not to say something.
I just... Everybody just straightened Jason Whitlock out. Tony will not drive today. Tony Stewart's manager says he won't compete after the death of a driver. Well, what about the moron that said business as usual? Yeah, I guess
business as usual. Just plug in the next guy.
I mean, Mark, this is the biggest story probably by far of the week, and unfortunately has to do with the death of somebody. And by the way, you know what was also the biggest story that we saw this past week? Jim Brady, who was in 1980, was shot in the head and lived, you know, not a comfortable but not a very...
I wouldn't say comfortable, but a very productive life.
A productive life for 34 years, died, and now and lived, Hinckley, what's his first name?
John Hinckley.
John Hinckley is going to probably have to go back to court, or his lawyer will, because he's been charged with murder.
Yeah.
And that's a big story. And technically, he I don't even think he ever got a manslaughter charge. I mean, he probably got some charge about
completely put out because he
assault.
Was he was
yeah let
insanity plea
one yeah
of, one of the first real successful.
Well, he goes home to see his mom evidently once a week now, and they're unsupervised visits. I got a feeling those are pretty supervised though. I got a feeling that there's a sniper on the building on the other side, and if he sees him take the wrong, and he's got to have one of those things around his ankle just so they know, or he's probably got an implant somewhere. When he was asleep, they stuck it in his spine, so we'll always be able to figure out where he is.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't take wrong turn into DC and someone just presses a button.
You corrected me last week, but I was pretty sure that John Hinckley also had that book that he read. What was the name of the book?
Catcher in the Rye?
Yeah, Catcher in the Rye.
We never talked about that.
No, but Catcher in the Rye was the book that the guy that shot John Lennon had all over, and that had Manchurian Candidate stuff. I mean,
what show have we started today?
No, listen. I'm just saying that it's some weird stuff. Now, let me just say this.
But also, big
news. What we started to talk about was about how ridiculous the NFL preseason is, because the New England Patriots went to Richmond, Virginia, where the Washington NFL football team has their camp. And they practiced with the Washington NFL football team.
The Landover
FC. That's just for Roy.
Landover
FC. Roy, I'm never going to say that word again on the air. They practiced
He's
with them for 3 days. And word was that they showed us how to practice, they showed us how to play, and they showed us how to do everything. And it was
camera.
It went real. Oh, they showed them how to cheat, is what I heard. No, they didn't. They would never show them their way of cheating. Although all you have to do is read the book Spygate: The Untold Story, and it's all right there for you, because you can still buy that book anywhere. You just have to order it.
And if you're following along with the Bruce Hall drinking game, you just have to take a shot now. anytime you mention,
I haven't had a drink for 30 years.
Well, it's not for you.
I'm driving all my ECU boys around though. When I go down there, I'm going to have to rent a big, big vehicle, and I'm going to drive all these boys around because I don't drink. Now, I will go to the bars, and I will hang out pretty late if I can.
Little do you know that you mentioning that you don't drink is actually part of the Bruce Hall Sports drinking game. We'll have to put up the official rules on the website.
You drink a shot of hot water is what you do, which is probably good for you, actually. We got as far as, and I'm sitting here looking at Twitter, and all Twitter is Tony. Maybe, you know, is Tony. Is Tony Stewart?
It's hard to think of any other sports when someone died.
Grant Paulson doesn't even know. He's not racing, Grant. He's not racing, Grant.
This is Bruce Hall's Twitter segment.
Well, Grant's still on the air, probably, or he just got off. Yeah. That would be asinine. You're right. He's not racing, Grant.
So big news.
His business manager.
I have to say, if it weren't for Tony Stewart, all I'd want to talk about today would be the MLS All-Star Game and Pep Guardiola waving his finger, saying he's not going to shake the hand of the other coach.
Okay,
did you see anything about that?
No, I won't be saying anything about that. The MLS All-Star Game, in my opinion, is a fabrication.
Any All-Star Game really is.
Well,
it was brought up, might have been a cool idea, is if you have MLS All-Stars versus Mexico's All-Stars, which would be the ultimate only way an All-Star Game would be any good at all.
Yeah, but with all of those guys coming across the border and we don't know who they are, how are we going to know who plays for who? I mean, seriously. Come on, Matt. You can't do that. How many Mexicans are coming across the border each day? Do you even know? Do we even know?
What is in your coffee today?
I'm looking for... Actually, I am still drinking coffee. We're going to go back to the National League. We determined that 7 American League teams have a chance to be in the playoffs. Only 5 can make it. And we're pulling for the Yankees. Why? WFAS, baby.
Oh, okay.
WFAS. That's the only reason we're pulling for them. I'm pulling for them because Joe Girardi might, if they make the playoffs and win one playoff series, I think Joe could be American League Manager of the Year. They may want to give it to to the guy in Oakland, but I say no because I think Oakland just has too much talent. Plus, they made those 3 trades, which are unbelievable when you think about it. But here I go. You ready? This is for the standings in the National League, and here we go. In the East, the Washington Nationals are 4.5 games out in front. Thank you. And by the way, they won in 11 innings or 13 innings last night over the Atlanta Braves in a rain-delayed game that lasted 7 hours, something stupid. They literally were in a rain delay for 3 hours. Getting a lot of rain down there. Miami technically still has a chance. Don't play them. Don't play the Mets. I love the Mets, but they're thinking about the next 3 years. Got to get rid of David Wright. Philly, they're done. Milwaukee, they're still there. Pittsburgh, probably not going to be there long. St. Louis, I think that's the team you have to worry about as far as a wild card goes. And there is nobody in the West except the Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. And the way the Giants are hitting, they may not be there long either, Boach. I hope they are, but they are just not hitting.
This is your time.
This is your time. Screw them. I sound just like that guy. See if you can.
Screw them.
Screw them. Is that
screw
them? Screw them. A lot of people think I look a lot like him. Kurt Russell.
What people?
Actually.
What? No, all right.
Goldie
we're getting that Dunkin' Donuts coffee tested at the end of the show.
Goldie thought I was Kurt one night. I took advantage of her. No, I didn't, actually.
Jesus.
Hold on a second. Actually, I like Goldie okay, but I really like her daughter a lot better. Gosh, she's pretty. What's her name?
Oh, please.
Oh, you don't know her name? You wouldn't know her name. You don't watch
Kate something or other.
Kate Hudson. Oh,
all right, we're
going to.
Kate, yeah.
Oh, she's so pretty.
Get rid of that cup, please.
Hey, can I look at the stats here real quick? We got a minute left.
You don't.
Oh, come on. Oh, is this that fake music you play for me?
No, it's.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute. We got Clark Judge coming on soon. He's either coming on next segment or he's coming on at 11. I love Clark. He's going to do a segment with us and talk a little bit about the NFL and what he's expecting to happen in the Hall of Fame and all of that. See you in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back.
I'm clearing my voice. By the way, congratulations to Derek Jeter for passing Honus Wagner to go into the number 6 spot on the all-time hit list. Not going to pass Tris Speaker, though. He needs like 80-some, more hits, and it's too late in the season. If he'd have to hit 500, I think, to pass him. And if this is indeed your last year, you're done, Derek.
So in 100 years, will Derek Jeter's card be worth $2.1 million?
It'd probably be worth more with the inflation we're gonna see after the Holocaust, or whatever we want to call it. What is it called? Armageddon. After this world burns up,
is turning into an SNL sketch.
Well, let me just say this:
weirdest sports
the way
show
the world
ever.
Is right now. 100 years from now, would you even want to? What would you do? Let me ask you this: Would you flip a coin? I mean, would you right now make the call, a life or death call, that 100 years from now we have not had a dinosaur type asteroid hit the Earth, or enough nuclear weapons detonated in our atmosphere to make basically end life as we know it? I would say it's a flip of a coin.
I think in 100 years from now,
I think that
I'd be amazed that I could lift a coin, because I'd be 135 years old.
You know what I'm going to do?
And I'd probably still remember this as the weirdest thing I've ever done.
You know what I'm going to do?
the weirdest show I've ever been a part of.
You love being my producer. Matt, I'm the only guy like me you know. And trust me, Matt, you need to know a lot more guys like me. But here's the thing. Plus, I'm older. I'm like a mentor for you.
I know I am.
I know when you're my age, you'll be a Republican. You won't be a Democrat. I know you'll be conservative. I know you won't be. Everybody is liberal. I was liberal at your age. I didn't want to go to Vietnam. I went to college. Everybody was wearing bell bottoms and had long hair. I wrestled with long hair in the off season. I played baseball until a guy wouldn't play me with long hair, and then I cut my hair. Amazing how that works. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm just saying it's going to be different 100 years from now. Listen, here's what everybody should do. Think about this. Go out and buy Derek Jeter cards. No, but you got to buy rookie cards. It can't be just a card. Buy Derek Jeter rookie cards. You're probably going to have to pay $250 to $500 for those anyway, a piece. Buy about 100 of them, then put them in a fire retardant metal case that can't burn up, and then bury it somewhere in land that you're going to be able to leave to your kids for at least 100 years, and bury it deep, because God knows, I mean, if you bury it in my backyard, we're almost inside the Beltway. I mean, that could go down. The fire from a nuclear blast could go 10 feet deep probably where I live. Bury it deep, and then when your kids dig that up 100 years from now, your kids, it's going to be your great-grandchildren, by the way, they're going to go, oh, my God, I've got 100 Derek Jeter rookie cards. They're worth $25 million apiece. We can buy an island.
Our three-headed children from the nuclear fallout that you're predicting.
Well, the problem is you'll have to...
Their biggest concern is going to be baseball cards.
Listen, the Honus Wagner card...
Supposed to food and water.
I just told you this. I talked to a couple of people about the possibility of putting a group together to buy the card when it was like $650,000, because it was the most expensive card anywhere on the market, is the Honus Wagner specialty card. And that isn't even a rookie card. That's just a card. They didn't have rookie cards back then. And now it's worth it just sold for $2.1 million. That's not bad. That's not a bad return on investment, a little ROI that we like to say in the business. Not that I would know, because I'm broke. I'm on the radio, so what does that tell you?
Not on TV.
Is he calling in
yet?
He's going to call in at 11.
I hope he's not listening, because then
he may not call in at all. No, Clark will call in. There's no doubt about that.
So what are the odds of the nuclear holocaust?
You know what we're going
to do? What are the Vegas odds of that?
You know what we're going to do now before we talk about the NFL? I was going to have Ron Middleton call in, but they have a meeting. He's a tight ends coach with Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars, they call him down there. And, they have, I'm pretty sure they have Mr. Khan, who made his fortune in women's accessories and shoes. Actually, that's true. He's a billionaire. He's Muslim, and he's a practicing Muslim, and he's a great guy. And he's got the best mustache I've ever seen. It's so much better than Raleigh Fingers' mustache. It's not, I mean, the guy, he must just have two or three women that he pays that keep that mustache perfect. But anyway, he works for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they won this week in a preseason game. We're going to go over the scores right now. If you go to NFL.com, you'll be able to see what I see. Here we go. The Jets beat the Colts, And I got to tell you, it's exactly what we envisioned as far as the Jets beating the Colts. It was 13-10. Not a lot of offense. Definitely a lot of running the football and a lot of defense. In my opinion, and I've said this a couple of times, the Jets are gonna go to the playoffs. In my opinion, there's no doubt about it. They won 13-10. Baltimore beat San Francisco. That was the Harbaugh Let's Hug Bowl. Jimmy and John Harbaugh played each other. Now they're practicing together.
They're doing the same thing as the Redskins.
They're practicing together.
Atlanta FC.
And from what we understand, there have been no fights among, and not even among the coaches, which is even better.
There are some noogies though.
Well, they do noogies, but the old man's there. Mr. Harbaugh's there. Washington beat New England, and the only thing I can say with that is Jon Bon Jovi and Bill Belichick probably made a lot of money in Vegas taking Washington minus any amount of points against New England. And just to make sure, it was 23-6, so they covered. Kansas, and I'm only just kidding when I say that, by the way. And by the way, you do know that Jon Bon Jovi, who is buying the Buffalo Bills, by the way, for $1 billion. Let me repeat that. Jon Bon Jovi, his group, is buying the Buffalo Bills for $1 billion. And they're going to move him to Toronto because who knows?
I'll take anything you say because right now, the way the show is gone, you're going to say he was part lizard man.
Look, would somebody please call the show and tell my ignorant producer that that's actually happening? Kansas City, who, by the way, you know, made me a big winner last year and made me very popular with a lot of people who play football. They beat the Cincinnati Bengals 41-39 in a defenseless game. There was no defense in that game. I watched that game yesterday. It was ridiculous. Now, it was fun to watch, don't get me wrong. But Kansas City is not going to win their first 9 games this year because you got to play defense, and they don't have much defense right now. And they also, even though they show offense, I don't think they're going to have the same offense. They get a couple of guys hurt on that offense, they're going to be in trouble. Denver in the Super Bowl rematch. Well, who said this was going to happen? Me. Why? Because it doesn't matter. It's the preseason. Denver beats Seattle 21-16. Both teams look good. Their defense, both teams' defense looked real good. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if this is your Super Bowl this year in Arizona. I could see Denver going back because Peyton's not getting any younger. He's 39 years old this year. And Russell Wilson's just getting better. And the Seattle defense is fine. Even though they lost a couple of key players to free agency, they just replace them. They're very good. They're going to win. But I could see these two teams in it. San Diego beats the Dallas Cowboys, who, oh, by the way, did you see the pictures of Jerry?
Oh,
Jerry,
yes.
Jones?
I'm not pulling those up, no.
You can go on. You can go to Twitter. You can go to Facebook. You can go anywhere on the internet.
Good for him, though, you know?
yeah, good for him. He's 70.
I don't hate him as much now.
He's 72 years old, and he's got hookers, like, doing strange things to him. They only showed a couple of the pictures. As far as I know, that's all that's out there because I haven't seen anything else. But after the game, even the announcers of the game and the people, the beat writers that covered the game said, ironically enough, no one could find Jerry Jones after the game. It's the first time he has never been front and center. After
he didn't come onto the field after the game?
No win, no loss. He wasn't even in his box.
Ah.
Yeah, because they would be waiting outside. Yeah, he could. Oh, that's very funny, Matt. You're sick. Miami, by the way, who had the worst offensive line problems in the world, and really was the first football team I've ever heard of have a 320-pound guy cry and claim he was bullied. They lost 16-10 to Atlanta. Atlanta has got a lot of work to do. Miami's got a lot of work to do. I wish them all luck. I don't think Miami has a snowball's chance in hell of making the playoffs.
Snowball's chance in Miami.
Yeah, and I don't think Atlanta's going to do much this year either. I think everybody in Atlanta's division is going to improve, and I think they're just not going to improve as much as they need to. Buffalo beats Carolina 20-18. Carolina, a lot of people think, are going to be strong this year. Buffalo had to win because their coach threw such a fit after their loss to New York in the I can tell you why he was upset. There were so many Buffalo season ticket holders at the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, that he probably heard about it like forever. Jacksonville beats Tampa Bay 16-10. Lovie Smith's in Tampa. Evidently, Lovie must have brought his offensive line with him because they couldn't protect their quarterbacks down there. They lose 16-10 to a Jacksonville team that's just going to get better. Philadelphia looked like they were out there just horsing around. They lose to Chicago. Jay Cutler, who's one of Roy's best buddies, looked really good. He looked like he was in midseason form. That means in about three games he'll get injured and he'll be out for the year. Don't look for Chicago to be that good, although they may make the playoffs this year. Minnesota beats Oakland 10-6. Both teams showed defense, showed no offense. New Orleans, who are working out at the Homestead, by the way, during their camp, we're back. We'll be back in a minute with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back. We're going to have Clark Judge on here in a second because I was just on the phone with him. He's calling in to talk about NFL and what's in everything NFL-like. Talk about his new Hall of Fame network that he's got going on. I'm sitting here looking at Twitter. It actually has calmed down just a little bit, everything that's happening. It's amazing to me that they didn't have something done with Tony Stewart's people early enough. That when the first, reports of this came out in the morning, that they didn't have somebody better on the phones ready for Twitter.
It's not a time for interns, is what you're saying.
No, it's not a time for somebody that doesn't know what. It's more of a time not picking the phone up in the real world, in my opinion.
Just let it go to voicemail.
Absolutely. But anyway, that's going to be happening. We were talking a little bit about NFL football.
Your phone.
Thank you. Oh.
No, just give it to me. You keep talking. Do your show.
All right. But we were talking about the NFL. And we were talking about what was going on with the games. We were almost done with the scores. Detroit beat Cleveland. Johnny Manziel, you want to talk about somebody that blew it up. Hello, Clark Judge. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Bruce. I'm fine.
Hey, thanks for coming on today. It's great. I was just getting ready to talk about that Detroit-Cleveland game last night. I'm sure you watched it if you were even able to. Johnny Manziel looked okay. I mean, he looked like and not bad after the second string line he was playing behind. What did you think? Did you get a chance to see it?
I saw some of it. Yeah, I thought he looked fine. He said it was a good start. I agree with him. It was a good start. Hey, it's the first ball game of a preseason, series.
Yeah.
I don't put much stock in it.
Right.
He looked confident, a little concerned when he got hit. And I think you're going to be seeing that a lot this year. I mean, he's going to take some hits because he runs a wide-open style. But I was glad to see that he slid at one point. He knew how to do that. He looks like the quarterback we saw in college, which is a guy who's very exciting, dynamic. He's going to be a guy who's going to put people in the seats in Cleveland. Brian Hoyer's not. That's not to say Brian Hoyer can't start
right. And
win. He can. And I think Cleveland, honestly, would like to open the season with Hoyer. But if it's close... how do you keep Manziel out of the lineup? I think they would love to keep Manziel nailed to the bench as long as they can so that he can learn.
Yeah.
Once they get going, and once Hoyer slips and fails a little bit, because he's going to throw some interceptions. And you know darn well, Bruce, when he does, people will be calling for Manziel. They love to keep him learning as long as possible. But once he's on the field to stay. And last night, as I said, I thought that was a good start.
Yeah, I did too. And you know, knowing his offensive coordinator as well as I do, because he was here in Washington with his father, he's going to put Hoyer in a position to fail from time to time. And if Hoyer doesn't do everything just right, the ball's going to come loose, or he's going to end up throwing the ball where he doesn't need to throw it. And I think there's going to be a certain amount of pressure on Hoyer to play well. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not. You know what I mean? For Hoyer.
Well, but that's the way it goes in this game. If he can't respond to pressure, then you shouldn't be playing. He's got to respond to it. And I think he will. He played well last year. As I said, I think he's good enough to get you by a few games and keep Manziel on the bench. But again, if it's lopsided, you know, if Manziel looks so much better, because Hoyer wasn't particularly impressive last night. But again, as I said, first game of preseason, who cares? I mean, the only game I really pay attention to is the third one, because that's sort of a dress rehearsal, and you're seeing starters against starters, second-teamers against second-teamers. But from what we saw of Manziel last night, I mean, that's why they used a first-round draft pick on him, and that's why people are excited about him. So he'll be in the lineup sooner or later. I think I just have a feeling it might be a little bit later than you think.
You know what? I don't think that would be bad in the long run, because I think people will still buy some tickets to show up to see if he does come in. Now, I'm going to ask you about a team that you have followed for years and that you're very close to, the New York Giants. I can't figure out where these guys are coming from, but it looks like quietly they have put together a defense that might be okay. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I mean, they made some pickups in the offseason that are going to help them. They've helped their two corners, and they needed help. The corners were terrible.
Right.
But one of the reasons the corners were exposed, guys like Aaron Ross, Corey Webster, one of the reasons they were exposed is because they didn't have the pass rush that they had in years past.
Right.
So you better concentrate on that front four, Bruce. You better get JPP to do something here. Kiwanuka is a good player. He's not a great player. You don't have a Justin Tuck in there. Tuck is gone now. Can you get something from the inside people? Like Kid Bromley looks pretty good.
Yep.
Maybe you can, but you've got to get something up front first, and that's what the Giants were all about. That's the reason they beat the Patriots in those two Super Bowls. They had pressure from the front four, and the backside didn't have to be great. It had to be just okay, you know, and they were okay. They're better than okay. But now they've really helped themselves in the back. They've got some off-season additions that are going to make a difference, I think. I worry more about them offensively, and that's what killed them last year.
Yeah.
I mean, defensively, they weren't great, but offensively, kept turning the ball over. Do they have the running backs? I mean, Jennings looks pretty good. Rashad Jennings looks pretty good. Andre Williams, pretty good-looking back out of BC.
Boy, I'll say.
But the offensive line, I don't know. I mean, I've watched them both preseason games. I think they're nothing more than adequate, and that's probably being generous. Now, Jennings broke free for, I think it was a 73-yard touchdown last night, and boom, once he was through, he was gone. But more often than not, you've seen runs not going anywhere. And I see that Manning's using his receivers, running backs as receivers more, which is good. But again, are you going to get something out of the tight ends? I don't know. They haven't for a while. Is Reuben Randle going to be the player they thought he was? Saw him drop a ball last night. They've got to get some help on the outside. So let's see what happens with these guys. They were 7-3 down the stretch last year, Bruce. And that's, you know, coming off of a terrible start. I mean, 0-6. When they should have been DOA, and yet they responded. That gives me a feeling this team's going to be a factor in that division. I think they're going to be a factor this year.
Now, let's go to the Jets real quick, because I think the Jets are way ahead of the Giants, but after watching the Giants' defense, and watching the Jets play, I'm not convinced that the Jets are going to be much better on offense either. I think that, you know, it's going to be a defensive team. I mean, everything's going to be based around that front seven. And in the secondary, they're not bad still, you know, even with the loss of some guys. I what do you think?
Well, I think they're okay with Milner on the one side. I mean, he says he'll be better this year. He better be. He was the top corner in last year's draft. But on the other, they had Dimitri Patterson. You look terrible there.
Yeah.
You're not going to win Dimitri Patterson as a starter. He's not bad as a nickelback or a six defensive back, but you're not going to win with him if you're going to start. They'll pick on him and start going after him. You're right. They're front four or front seven or front three. I mean, they keep moving in three, four, four threes, but they're good. They're really good. Their front seven's really good, and you're right. They will force turnovers. They didn't have a lot last year. Remember, they had like 15 takeaways. That was it. They've got to do better there. Again, same thing as the Giants. I worry about them offensively. They had a quarterback turn the ball over last year, Geno Smith. So you bring in the veteran who's going to challenge him. What happens to be Michael Vick, and what does he do? Turns the ball over.
Yeah.
So I don't know how Michael Vick is going to help these guys, because people say, oh, he's a dynamic player. Well, he used to be. Not so much anymore. He can be at times. But one thing, two things I know about Michael Vick. One, he's going to get hurt. We know that.
Yeah.
But two, he commits a ton
just win.
Of turnovers.
Yeah.
He commits a ton of turnovers. And before last year, he had had something like 33 fumbles over the previous 3 years.
Right.
The only guy who had more, the only quarterback who had more, was Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
You can tell me this is an upgrade.
Yeah. And he looked good this week. Hey.
He did look good. Yeah.
Well,
Chip Kelly will help him. He needs to get out. He needs to get out of New York.
Oh,
Chip
God,
Kelly
did
him,
he?
But Vic, it'll be interesting to see if Vic pushes this guy. Geno Smith is the starter, but if Vic keeps pushing and pushing and looks better, then they put him on the field. Certainly Marty Morningweg has a familiarity with him because he had him in Philadelphia. But that said, you know, he turned the ball over a ton of times.
No, so. Hey, we're talking to Clark Judge. Clark, tell everybody how they can follow you now, and tell them about your new network.
Yeah, well, thanks, Bruce. It's Talk of Fame Network, the Talk of Fame Network, and talkoffamenetwork.com. And I started this with Ron Borges of the Boston Herald and Rick Goslin of the Dallas Morning News. The three of us are Hall of Fame selectors, and we thought what we would do, we've spent a year putting this thing together, was kind of look at football through a Hall of Fame prism. I mean, we're in that room where the voting takes place. And so we can tell you, you know, what's going to happen in terms of the Hall of Fame process. I mean, there are a lot of people out there, Bruce, who can tell you who should be in the Hall or who should not.
Right.
Not many people can tell you why they should. We can. We're in that room, and I hear people say, oh, Tim Brown's a slam dunk. Well, I'm going to tell you, Tim Brown's no slam dunk.
Yeah.
Now, Tim Brown had an accomplished career, but I know what goes on in that room, and so do those guys. But that said, it's not just talking about retired players. We're talking about current players, too. I mean, we have something on the table for the coming weeks about which one of these young quarterbacks, you know, Bridgewater, Manziel, Bortles, which one of these guys we're going to be talking about in 15 years, 20 years in the Hall of Fame room. Is it going to be one, two, none? I mean, which guy catches your eye? We also did something on Andrew Luck versus the other young quarterbacks in today's game, Russell Wilson, Kaepernick, why you like him, and are they Hall of Fame worthy? Andrew Luck certainly is. He's on that kind of path. But we have interviews with Hall of Fame players, interviews with Hall of Fame futures. We had Ty Law, who's going to be he's up for the Hall of Fame this year. And he was great on comparing Brady and Manning. Before the AFC Championship game last year, we had a look at Brady Manning. Which one would you take and why? And we had Ty Law in there. He was great. He had great insight into it. But it's a two-hour show. It's on weekly. And then we've got the website, talkoffamenetwork.com. But thanks for asking, Bruce.
Hey, you know what, Clark? I always love getting you on the show. And thank you for coming on. And believe me, I'll be in touch with you, buddy. Clark Judge, everybody. You got to follow him. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Having Clark Judge on the show just gets me fired up. And the great thing about Clark is he still lives in New York City. So he is all over the Jets and the Giants. And this Hall of Fame network that he's involved with, you got to Google him. You got to find it. He is one of the most knowledgeable people about professional football I've ever talked to, and he communicates so well. He's just a pleasure to have on. Sitting here looking, you know, the Arizona, everybody thought Houston was going to be a little bit better this year. Well, they just got spanked 32-0 yesterday, you know, by the Arizona Cardinals, who we are kind of looking at as maybe the first team to ever make it to the Super Bowl in their home stadium. And the reason we're doing that is because, A, we have Jess Root, who, by the way, we won't have him on this week. Actually, no, we will. We're going to have him on next segment. We'll have him on the last segment because Tony's...
We can't do the last segment.
We can't.
No.
Please.
We're up against the hard break. No, you can't.
Well, then, you know what we're going to do? We're gonna put him on at 11:30.
Okay.
Because... I interviewed him last week, and it was a great interview. And he talked about Arizona and what was going on and why they were going to be good. He's really, really big on Carson Palmer. As you know, Carson Palmer ended up in Arizona via the Oakland Raiders and the Cincinnati Bengals to the Oakland Raiders, and the Oakland Raiders as a free agent to Arizona. And he seems to think Carson Palmer's actually getting better. Now, this is a guy, a veteran quarterback who's 34 years old, who, you know, was an All-American at USC, but he has Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, he's got a handful of receivers and tight ends, as they proved yesterday, if you watched any of their preseason game, with the poor Houston Texans. They got shut out 32-0.
How fast could they go from Super Bowl prospect to bottom?
Well, they got
league.
Rid of Matt Schaub, which isn't a big deal. I don't even, you know, I couldn't even tell you who Houston's starting quarterback is going to be this year. But I will tell you this: they had two great running backs. One of them is still there, but he's coming off of a bad injury last year, and the other is left as a free agent and is a starting. Running back with another NFL team. The Tennessee Titans held on to beat Green Bay. That's not surprising. Tennessee, has a new head coach, a guy that used to be a former Redskin, and he was also the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals until he lost his job there. And then he got picked up right away. He actually got the head coaching job in Tennessee. This is probably Tom Coughlin's last year in New York, I'm guessing. If they don't win this year, I think Coughlin's gone. Pittsburgh is going to keep that guy for a while. He's got a great record. By the way, the Steelers are my dark horse this year in the playoffs. I think they're going to make it. I think they're going to be very good. I think they're going to be a lot better offensively. A lot of people don't realize that they played extremely well in the last year. They're just in a tough division with Cincinnati and the Baltimore Ravens, and now the Johnny Manziel Cleveland Browns. although I expect the Browns will still be in fourth place in that division. St. Louis is going to get better. A lot of people don't remember this, but I picked St. Louis to win the Super Bowl in 17. I did. I picked that 2 years ago when Jeff Fisher went to St. Louis. Jeff Fisher is turning St. Louis around. They've revamped their offensive line. They got Jake Long back. They can run the football. They can throw the football. It's all up to their quarterback, and I think he's good enough. I think Drew Brees is going the wrong direction in New Orleans. I think New Orleans is good, but I don't think they're great. I like St. Louis. Minnesota's going to get better, but they're going to build everything off their defense. I hope Oakland wins this year because I don't want Reggie McKenzie to lose his job. The Bears... You know, every year that people say the Bears are going to win, and every year they choke. I'm going to pick them this year, though, to make the playoffs. Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, neither of those teams are going to do anything this year, although Jacksonville will improve. Tampa Bay, it'll take longer to improve. But Lovie Smith's there. Buffalo is going to end up in Toronto. Carolina's Carolina. I think Carolina was lucky to make the playoffs last year. Neither of those teams are going to do anything. Atlanta, Miami, neither team's going to do anything. San Diego is going to do something in the West. Kansas City, remember they made the playoffs in the West last year, along with, a couple of teams that were good. San Diego is going to be that team this year. Dallas is going to be the worst team. The worst team in the NFCs. They're going to be the worst. And Jerry Jones is going to continue to mess around with hookers and have pictures taken in pretty strange positions.
No, he's got his guys. They'll get rid of the
Yeah, well, you would think so. Yeah, but they evidently didn't handle this one very well. Denver is going to go back. Seattle's going to go back. That's probably two of your top three teams in the league. Kansas City, Cincinnati. Everybody thinks Cincinnati's coming back. I don't know. I think Baltimore's coming back, and I think Pittsburgh's coming back. I think Cincinnati's third place in that division this year. You know, Washington, let me tell you something. They're very thin, and they're thin because of all the money that they got taken away from them the past 2 years because of the cheating that they did with the salary cap.
In quotes.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to say this right now. If they keep everybody healthy, they could end up 8-8, maybe even 9-7, because they looked so much better in their preseason game this week than I ever saw them look last year. And I do know it's a preseason. Yeah. I'm not talking about the fact that they were successful running their plays or running their defensive schemes. I'm talking about they just looked like they were having fun. And when the Shanahans were here, Nobody was having fun. The media wasn't having fun. The offense wasn't having fun. The defense wasn't having fun. The coaches weren't having fun. The Shanahans weren't having fun. You know what? When the Shanahans were in D.C., nobody was having fun.
And when they're 4-12, no one will be having fun either.
Well, if they, you know, that's correct. If they're the worst. But I don't see that happening. I see the Philadelphia Eagles. I see the Eagles being the team that makes it to the playoffs in the East. Baltimore's going to make it too. You know what? San Francisco could struggle this year. If Alden Jones is, I'm sorry, Alden Smith loses a year because of all the bad stuff he's done, because he's got his meeting with the commissioner this week, evidently. If they lose him for the year, they're done, because he is a monster in the middle. He's like the biggest difference that makes the – and they lost a couple, three guys on their in their defensive backfield. They lost a former Washington Redskin that's with another team now. The New York Jets – I call them the New Jersey Jets. The New York Jets are going to make it. Indy is not. This is Indianapolis.
Really?
I think Luck's going to throw for 5,000-plus yards, but I don't think they're going to have a running game. And I don't think they've got the defense to stop the teams in their division. I don't see them doing anything this year. I really don't. So let's look back at the NFL right now. San Francisco, maybe. The Jets, maybe. Baltimore, definitely. Washington, maybe. Cincinnati, maybe. Kansas City, no. Seattle, Denver, yes. San Diego, yes. Dallas, no. Miami, no. Atlanta, no. Carolina, no. Buffalo, no. Tampa Bay and Jacksonville, no. Chicago and Philly, I'm going to say yes, both of them. I can't believe I said that about Chicago, because I hate Cutler. The only reason they won 10 games last year was because of the other quarterback, the one that's gone now, McCown. Oakland and Minnesota, neither one of them make it. St. Louis, possibly. New Orleans, possibly. Cleveland, no. Detroit, I say no. Giants, no. Pittsburgh, yes. Green Bay, yes. Tennessee, possibly. Houston, never in a million years. Arizona, my dark horse to be the first team that ever hosts their own Super Bowl. How cool would that be? And it's in Arizona, and it's in February, and it's 80 degrees there. I'm playing golf every day. Doesn't get better than that.
So they're not worried about snow.
No. They're not worried about snow. They're worried about the polar vortex, though, coming in. Let me tell you, remember when the polar vortex hit us about 3 weeks ago? It was like 50 at night, but then it was still 75, 80 during the day. That's not a bad vortex. I like that a lot better than anything else I saw. You know, we talk about a lot of different things here on the show.
Understatement.
We don't talk enough about baseball, in my opinion, even during baseball season. Look what happens. The NFL is playing preseason games, and I've spent probably a half hour on the NFL. I've had an NFL guy. Tony's going to come on here shortly, and we're going to talk about the NFL some more. We won't talk about the Cleveland Indians. What are we going to talk about? The Browns. Like, there's somebody because of one guy, Johnny Manziel. Because of Johnny freaking Manziel, who is fun to watch and is a good athlete. But he's got to quit rolling up dollar bills and putting them on Facebook so billions of kids can see it, because they know what that means, Johnny. It means that if you're not snorting cocaine, you're an idiot, because why would you roll up a dollar bill and make everybody think you were? Don't be stupid. Be a smart guy. Know that you are actually a role model for kids. I mean, I know it's hard for you to believe because you're 21 years old, 22 years old. But when you're 21, 22, and you've got the influence you do, do something good, man. I mean, do something good. You know, for every bad thing you do, do 10 good things. And then everything will get better. What we need are more role models, Matt. We do. We need more role models.
Maybe we shouldn't have them from our sports team, though.
We need more Russell Wilsons. But then Russell Wilson just went through a divorce. And I feel sad for Russell Wilson. But he's a young kid. But he ended up evidently getting a divorce, and I didn't know anything about it until it happened.
He didn't call you?
He never
called me. I'm sorry, man. I meant to call you.
I swear he didn't call me. You know, and here's the thing, Russell. If I give you my number, call me. Okay? I mean, you know, just give me a buzz. You can always call in 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. And let us know what's going on. I'm sitting here trying to think. I had a thought, and now it's lonely. Oh, I was gonna, you know what I was going to do? I was going to give everybody my picks. All right, get your pen out. We got 1 minute before the break. You ready? You know Ryan Wheeler has been unbelievable as of late. In the last three games, he's got 1.80 earned run average. He's 2-0 versus the opponents, the Phillies. The Phillies are people are beating them up left and right. Take the Mets today for sure. Take Johnny Cueto too, because Johnny Cueto is having a phenomenal year. He's got a 2.04 ERA on the year. He could win the NL. He is going to be the only other guy on the ballot for the National League Cy Young Award. Him and Clayton Kershaw. Take Cueto. Take the Braves. No, don't. Forget the Braves. Take David Price and the Tigers. They lost three in a row. Take them today. David Price goes against Mark Burley, who's tired. Burley's tired. Price isn't. Take him. Gausman with the Orioles. Take him. And I hate to say it, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to leave San Francisco alone. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion with Tony Mazur.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We'll have Tony Mazur on as soon as he calls in, talking about Johnny Manziel, talking about everything Cleveland, which will be fun. I'm just sitting here looking at these games. I almost was going to go to see the Baltimore game, which is literally 25 minutes from where I sit. Lance Lynn's pitching, and Gausman's pitching for the Orioles, and Gausman's pretty incredibly talented young pitcher. Lance Lynn, all he does is win. Cards at the Orioles, that could be your World Series if the Cards come through. Giants at the Royals, you got Duffy, a lefty going for the Royals. We got Tony. Tony on the line. Hello, Tony.
What's going on, guys?
You are, man. Are you underwater today, or are you out of the water?
No, we actually have a big arena football game. The Cleveland Gladiators are playing today. I'm heading down to the game in a little bit.
Really? Is the arena league, is that the girls in the bikinis? I'm just kidding.
I wish you'd give me something to look at today.
Do you guys not have one of those bikini leagues teams?
We did, and I think they moved to Toledo, which, you know, really shows, you know, how great the league has been going.
Well, they started wearing, like, swimsuits instead of bikinis, and I think they got thrown out of the league, didn't they? They were flunking the weight test or something.
Is that their equivalent of juicing?
Stop it, Matt. Matt's talking about juicing. He's getting dirty now. Hey, listen. Let me ask you a question. This is what everybody wants to know because you're right there. Manziel looked pretty good last night. He did a good job, especially considering it was the second string offensive line he put him in there with. What do you think? I think he's leading the race right now, don't you?
I'd like to say that because you opt for something more exciting. But really last night, and I know it's one game and we're all guilty of it. We overanalyze every play from the first game and all that and Twitter and stuff. But Brian Hoyer didn't do anything to lose the job.
Yet.
So he was both quarterbacks, they made some mistakes, but they also had guys dropping passes. That's just the Cleveland Browns way. They're going to have wide receivers that are going to drop passes. But Manziel looked pretty impressive last night. But Brian Hoyer is still going to be the starting quarterback, I believe, on this team.
Hey, Tony, who was the guy that let that ball go right through his hands? That evidently Johnny knows from number 17. He knows from now on that this guy, he can't throw it, you know, any harder than just a soft toss to him.
I'm thinking if it was Charles Johnson, was that it?
No, it wasn't Charles Johnson, but it was somebody. It was just a guy that they couldn't wait to get him off. They pulled him out, and literally you could see the coach halfway screaming at him, then shoving him behind a bunch of other players. Like he's
never. Well, you know, looking at that second unit wasn't too bad, and the Browns have a guy on the team, and you probably know this a little bit because you're a football scholar and stuff. His name is Terrence West.
Oh, yeah.
This guy is built like a brick, you know what,
yeah.
House. And he went to Towson State.
Yeah.
And I think he set records. He had like 430 carries last year in college in one season.
Oh, I know. He's a monster.
He's a beast. He really is a beast. So him, Ben Tate in the backfield, that's a pretty bruising backfield, especially for a team where last year the Browns had four rushing touchdowns.
Oh, I know.
Four.
Yeah, they had a problem scoring in general.
Willis McGahee led the team in rushing last year, and he was cut halfway through the season. So that shows you know how they were.
Yeah, and Willis McGahee, I mean, he was doing that on two recycled knees. When he was in Denver, I mean, they wouldn't even have made the playoffs if it wasn't for him that one year. That was the Tebow year.
I don't know how he even came back from that injury that quickly and was that effective in the league for a long time.
Yeah, he's a pretty amazing guy. I mean, if you sit here and look at the depth chart on the for them, you know, Josh Gordon obviously isn't even going to be playing once the season starts, and they don't know how many games he's going to be out for right?
Right, but from what it sounds like right now, it's the possibility he may only get about eight games.
Right.
Because they're doing technicalities and talking about secondhand smoke. And if he was around somebody who happened to have been smoking marijuana at that time, it's that kind of that scumbag attorney talk where it's like, well, maybe, and let's picture this scenario. So that's kind of what's been going on there.
You know, Marquise Gray, I'm sitting here looking at the starting fullback, the kid from Minnesota. He's more of a blocker, isn't he? Terrence West can run the football, and he'll be good out of the backfield. I could see them using Terrence West out of the backfield on third down, maybe.
Absolutely.
And they got Miles Austin. And, you know, they've got Nate Burleson as a backup. Nate Burleson can flat-out catch. Didn't Nate Burleson, any of the guy that got in trouble for reaching for his pizza? This sounds like a BS story anyway. He was reaching for his pizza, coming back from somewhere, and he wrecked his car and broke his arm or something.
Yep, no, it's Nate Burleson. Yep.
You know what? Even if that's a lie, it's such a good lie, I'd let him get away with it. And Joel Bitonio, tell me about this kid from Nevada. Is he any good?
Oh, is he good? And I know it's one game, but all throughout the year so far in training camp, he has looked excellent.
Yeah.
He has looked excellent. I think it was a steal of a pick because I heard a little bit about him out of Nevada, and this guy, he was playing like he played in the league for 5 years.
Right.
Tonight. Like he knew exactly what was happening. And not only that, he's a rookie, and he's starting too.
Yeah.
So it's not like this, you know, growing pains. Sometimes you have a lineman needs to kind of get his, you know, get his ears wet, get his sea legs. Looked like he got it right away. And, of course, like I said, could be overanalyzing everything after the first game, but it was a nice sight to see there.
Is Mac healthy? I mean, is he back now? I mean, is he 100%, do you think?
Yeah, I think he is. He's just not worth the money they gave him. They gave him money to be the top center, basically the top center in the league. Is he a top center? I guess you can make that case. Is he the top center? I mean, who can really judge at that point? I mean, not everyone's Bruce Matthews. Not everyone's some of the the great centers back in the day, the line on the Dallas Cowboys. But I just didn't think Alex Mack was worth that money. I would have let him go. I would have let him go, and you could save a lot of money there.
Nah, you know, I hear you. Now, I look at the rest. I look at their defense now. I'm going to tell you something. If they don't get injuries, you know, if injuries don't play a major part of their season early on, especially with their schedule, you know, the Browns have a shot at winning seven or eight games if they can score enough points. I mean, they've got Desmond Bryant. They've got Paul Kruger. They got Carlos Dansby, who's a monster from Arizona. They got Barkevis Mingo, who I like. I mean, did he come back bigger this year?
He was quick last year, but he also had a kidney. There was some kind of internal problem that he had last year, and hopefully he did bulk up a lot more. And that's you're not going to see a lot of points given up by the Browns this year, I don't think, unless, and this is what happened last year, the defense wasn't that bad either, but the defense was on the field way too long.
Yeah.
It's up to the offense to start helping out the defense this time. Because it's become a really, really big problem in recent years.
Well, they look to me like they can run the football if with that offensive line, as long as they can keep, you know, those guys healthy. Now, I'm looking, you got Joe Hayden, who's an all-pro back, and you got Whitner back, or whatever he calls himself. Hittner, doesn't he call himself Hittner now?
Yeah.
Dante Hittner. He's an all-pro, basically. You got Leonard playing behind him. I mean, Leonard will come in, I'm sure, in certain formations on the defense. I mean, you know what? You guys could have fun there this year, especially if Manziel is the quarterback. Because here's what Manziel's going to do. He's not, if he doesn't get hurt, okay, he's not going to turn the ball over much. I guarantee you the one thing he won't do as a starting quarterback in the NFL is he will not throw interceptions. He'll make sure he doesn't do that. And I'm pretty sure he'll slide like he did last night. You know what I mean? He's not going to take a big hit. And I think he'll throw the ball away at times because he's going to learn who can catch on that team and who can't. You know what he is? He's a freaking football player is what he is. And I think he's going to end up making that a better offensive squad because I think he'll be in there soon. I really do.
And not only that, not only is he, you can see he has the mechanics to be a good football player, but he has the intelligence. People kind of don't, you know, they think he's some dumb college kid who was, you know, talking into a wad of money like it's a phone and, you know, with dollar bills rolled up in the bathroom. But
yeah,
people don't realize that, I mean, this kid has high football intelligence. And I believe wasn't he the highest this past year, have the highest Wonderlic score of all the rookie quarterbacks?
Yes, he did. Well, he's a smart kid, that's for sure. Hey, Tony, stay on for another segment. Can you hang?
Yeah, sure, I can do that.
All right, hey, I got to do the sponsor thing here. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall with Tony Mazur and Matt Lynch. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm on the line with Tony Mazur, my man that does everything in Cleveland. Tony, you still got your show going, right?
No.
Tony.
No, why not?
Is that right? well, you're on my show today, so tell everybody
exactly.
to tune in.
That's all he needs.
I'm King Midas in reverse, so.
I need to get you here. You know, we got Cleveland. You're doing something next week, right? Or you're saving money to go somewhere. I invited Tony. Tony, I got a free place for you to stay if you come. I got an extra bed in the house. But I was going to get Tony to come here and watch Johnny Manziel next week. Because Cleveland actually has a preseason game with the Washington NFL football team. I just do that to make Roy mad. Because I'm not gonna call them the Deadskins anymore. That's just not gonna happen.
Ew.
Not gonna happen. Hey, I looked at your schedule for the Browns, mm-hmm. Tony. It ain't bad. Mm-hmm. It's I got you guys possibly going 7-9. That's a big change from last year, isn't it?
Well,
weren't you 5-11 last year?
Huh? Yeah, it was 4-12. Yeah, basically since 2007, when Derek Anderson and Braylon Edwards led the Browns to a 10-6 season,
right?
They've gone 4-12, 5-11,
right?
5-11,
yeah.
4-12,
yeah.
And 4-12.
Well, it's Patton's second year, right?
No, it's his first year. Last year was Rob Chudzinski was the head coach.
Oh my God! No, Chud got replaced though. Didn't he get replaced like mid-year?
No,
they fired him.
The final game of the season, and it was the report came out, because remember the Browns were the first.
Oh, that's right. They fired him literally. They were mad that they fired him. A lot of the players.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know,
that was the Joe Banner situation, and we.
Oh, that's right.
For those who don't know Joe Banner, you're not missing anything. He was an executive in Philadelphia who took credit for Donovan McNabb and a lot of the Eagles' success back in the mid-2000s. he took credit for it, even though he was just like basically a bean counter.
Yeah.
And then after that, then he goes on to Cleveland after Jimmy Haslam bought the team. The NFL basically forced this Joe Banner guy on him. And Banner, again, was supposed to kind of improve the game day experience for the Browns. Instead, he was the general manager, president, and everything. And his reign of carnage, it was just one thing after another, culminating in a press conference where a news reporter was reading Facebook posts saying, a lot of people are calling you, Jimmy Haslam, and Mike Lombardi the Three Stooges.
Yeah, I remember that. That was exciting stuff if you're a reporter. I mean, you can't write it any better than that, can you?
No, and I know the reporter personally. He's a good dude. And he's like, I wasn't trying to insert myself in the story. And I'm like, yeah, sure you were.
You know, here's the thing. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the federal government done with, or the IRS done with Haslam yet?
I think there's going to be some civil issues he's going to deal with, but he paid out a whopping $92 million sum.
Oh, that's chump change for him.
Yeah, which if you're in Cleveland, that's called a Michael Bourne and a Nick Swisher.
Yeah, that's never good. I mean, at least things are looking up in Cleveland a little bit from a football standpoint. I mean,
oh, from everything.
Yeah.
From everything.
No,
the entire town is just like kind of 180 from what it was when I first started calling into you guys a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 years ago, people were excited about having first round quarterbacks in Brandon Whedon and Trent Richardson. You know, fast forward 2 years later, you have Johnny Manziel and LeBron James in Cleveland. LeBron James being probably the biggest free agent signing in the history of the NBA, on top of Kevin Love coming to Cleveland too. So it really is just a revitalization. And honestly, I got to say it, things have been looking up so much since the NFL draft when Manziel was picked, because it almost seems like it was to be played out, and you know, the chips fell the way they should have.
Yeah, we're talking to Tony Mazur, my guy in Cleveland, Ohio, who pretty much knows everything about what's going on and the nightlife. Any Manziel sightings at any of your favorite bars lately?
No.
He's staying in. That's good.
Yep. Yeah, we haven't had a Manziel story in a long time. And now we have, in town this week, all through the, because we have our own game, we have the gay games are going to be are played here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And that's going on all week. So it's really, really festive and colorful. No, seriously, there are rainbows everywhere around town. So it's Cleveland is the place to be, gay or straight.
Well, that's fantastic to know. And not that there's anything wrong with that. But listen, let me ask you this. The Cleveland Indians, they're done, as far as I can see, correct? I mean, they do have a few guys that are playing some ball. You know, Brantley is having a decent year. It looks like Swisher's going on the DL. At least he just announced he was, even before the team said he was.
Basically right now, take a look at, and if you're a fantasy guy at the beginning of the season, big baseball, fantasy baseball guy, if you pick Corey Kluber to start the season.
Oh, what a stud he is.
Oh, is he great?
Yeah, he is.
He found it. And you know what it is? When he was in the minors, he was just a throw-in guy. He was a guy throwing a trade, and when the AAA team won the championship a couple of years ago,
right,
he was sitting on the bench for it. He didn't do anything. And it wasn't – but he was always a guy who threw a four-seam fastball. And it wasn't until he perfected the two-seamer that he became so dominant. And then everything else fell into place. But that two-seam fastball, which – you know, has that has a nice dip to it, depending on how you throw it. Well, it really has worked out in his favor, and it's not even his best pitch.
Right,
he has a devastating slider. I think he's 13-6 right now. He has a sub 250 ERA at this point. He threw another shutout yesterday, not complete game, but he six innings, no runs. It really, this kid's just, he's like my age, but.
He's excellent. He's very good.
You know, Steve Carlton won a Cy Young Award many, many years ago when he was pitching for Cleveland. And he had 26 wins, and I want to say 7 losses or 10 losses, and won the Cy Young Award. And you know how many wins Cleveland had total? Like 58. And he won hands down. Kluber's having a similar year because in 171 innings, he's giving up a .231 average against, has only 36 walks and 187 punchouts. His whip is 1.07. Now, let me ask you another question, because I'm sitting here, I pulled Kluber here, and I'm looking at his background, you know, where he's been and, you know, how long he's been and, you know, how long he was in the minors. You know, he wasn't in the minors all that long, probably 3 seasons, maybe 4. And he was a good pitcher, but not a great pitcher. But since last year, I mean, you know, he was in Pocota, you know, for the end of the season. He got brought up and he had a very average year. This guy, he's not that old. I mean, he's 28 years old right now. He went to Stetson College. You know where that is? That's in DeLand, Florida. We call it Deadland, Florida. There's nothing at Stetson, nothing, but a lot of good baseball. They always have good baseball teams. Guy's 6'4", 215. I don't see how this guy, I mean, they can build around him, but if they traded him at any time, they're out of it, right? Wouldn't you agree? I mean, they're done. No matter Kluber, Kluber or no Kluber. You know who just got traded today? A guy from Minnesota who's average at best just got traded to the Dodgers. Kluber, you know who needs Kluber? Everybody.
If the Indians got rid of Kluber, like if there was a waiver wire thing or in the off season, there would be a revolt. It's bad enough the Indians are really the fourth best option in town right now behind the Cavs and the Browns,
right,
and Ohio State sports.
Right.
The Indians are hovering fourth. And, hell, we have the arena game today, so the attention's going to be more on the Arena League than the Indians playing the Yankees this weekend. So it's, I don't know.
I got to get out there before it gets cold. I don't want to get out there when there's like ice and snow, because I've had you on the show when there was nothing but ice and snow and you were in your car. Remember?
Oh yeah. Well, you better come out in the next week or so because it's icy by September.
Are we talking polar vortex here?
I don't know. Last year was a bad, brutal winter. Hey. I was already looking at places in Texas to live.
Hey, who is? Let me ask you this: who is the GM for the Cleveland Indians? Because I really couldn't tell you right now. And I don't even know.
Chris Antonetti.
How long has he been with the club?
Probably like 10 years. He was mentored by their last general manager,
right,
Mark Shapiro, who was mentored by John Hart. So basically, and Mark Shapiro's still with the team, and he's the team president. So the Indians have not had a culture change in that front
right.
office since 1991.
Hey, Tony.
And they wonder why they're like that, where there are.
No, I hear you. Tony, I'm on my way out. We'll see you next week, buddy. This is Bruce Hall signing off on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Thanks.